Well, welcome back to Lords and Ball by Ball commentary with the MCC in conjunction with the Royal National Institute for the Blind. And you join us as the bell has just been sounded, and we anticipate the players taking the field any second to commence the MCC's reply to English School's 199 all out. The umpires are in the middle, having a confab at the moment. Two very well proportioned individuals, described earlier by Terry Blake as David Sheppard lookalikes. Although when we did have the score at 111, we didn't see any hopping around, so we haven't quite yet worked out what they are called. But anyway, they're in the middle, and meanwhile, we've got the English schools in a huddle just in front of the pavilion, and the MCC batsmen making their way to the middle. And I'm here with Terry Blake alongside me, and we've had a very good morning's cricket. The weather's been kind to us. Some showers at the moment that were predicted this afternoon have not materialised, and at the moment, Lords is bathed in fantastic sunshine.
And none other than the can reveal that the umpires are none other than the Reverend G. Ripley and Mr. B.S. Toombs, TOOMBS. And the third umpire, not quite sure why he's required other than for, I suspect, injury to an umpire, is Mr. D. Houghton. So there we are.
The Reverend Ripley.
The Reverend
It's got a
Ripley.
certain ring to it, isn't it?
It has, yeah, ripping yarns.
Very good. Well, now, the fielders are out, the batsmen are out. We have, I believe, Tom Abell of Taunton School is taking guard at the moment. The batsman at the non-striker's end is in the red-helmeted Anthony Alleyne of Dulwich College.
It's a West Indian under-19 player, and looks like a lefty. And I suspect he's wearing an under-19 West Indian helmet, possibly. It's certainly the right colour.
It looks like it,
Maroon.
doesn't it? It's a great colour. I do think it's a fantastic colour for a cricket helmet. And yeah, we should be underway any second. What we don't yet know who will be opening the bowling. I suppose it's going to be one of Sohail, Webster, or Sikandi.
But it's not Sikandi.
It's not Sikandi.
Sikandi's at mid-on. He's a strapping black fast bowler, we think, and he batted number 11 and was full of vim and vigour, backing up well and scoring nifty singles.
And it's probably not Sohail either, which means let's opt for Webster and hope that the school board catches up with this fairly shortly. So we're going to Webster coming in now, tearing in from Pavilion End. Bowls quickest delivery, which has turned off Abell's legs, and in fact he's going to get a boundary for it. He's found and picked the perfect spot, barely got anything on it, but it was a very short boundary there on the leg side. And well, the score moves to four for no loss.
Well, a good shot. I mean, the ball was probably on middle stump, and of course the slope takes it down towards the man stand, and that's where the batsman placed it very nicely, and they've already moved fine leg a little bit squarer.
As Webster's in again, up the umpire bowls, and this is a good one, which Abell just pushes up to mid-on, who Sikandi comes in and hurls the ball back as soon as he feels it, straight to the wicketkeeper, who is wicketkeeper is Duckett, I believe. That
Yep.
is right, it's Duckett who is the
No,
number
no,
three.
no. Duckett's the captain. Villani is the keeper.
Is that right? Okay.
Villani from Brentwood.
So here comes Webster bowls, and this one again just turned off Abell's legs, but straight to the fielder at fine leg, and they get an easy single. Five for no loss, and that brings Alleyne on to strike. Well, I don't know if that is right, because We know that Gubbins was the captain. He's got a star on his scorecard. And we know that Martin
was replaced.
Was replaced by
so
Fell.
So you think that's probably
so
wrong.
So I think that's the wrong way around. So I think it is Duckett. Webster bowls fair to play. Elaney, and he just lets it go outside his off stump and straight through to Duckett. And it does look like Duckett, the number three batsman.
Your eyesight is better than mine. Especially just standing away from us at the moment.
As I've struggled all morning to work out who the fielders are.
It's not easy, is it?
I may well be wrong. But anyway, so Webster is generating a fair amount of pace. He comes tearing in. He really does from the hole there. And that's a foolish delivery, which is pushed firmly by Lane off the front foot. But he can only get it straight to the fielder at cover. And no run. So, Webster, I guess he's stockyish build. Probably about 5 foot, 10, 11, something of that order. And, he comes in order, I guess, a 15-meter run-up. And he really does. He sprints up to the stumps. He bowls now. And quickish delivery. Elaine seemed to have plenty of time, though, and he let it go three to the wicketkeeper. So that's the end of the over, end of the first over, and MCC 5 without loss.
So they're ahead of the run rate, needing only 4 an over. And a few more have come in.
Yes, you're right.
The MCC box is packed. They're just settling down after their lunch. We're hoping David English will come in, who's the spiritual leader of Esca and runs the Bunbury Festival.
And would they say Esca, or would they be English schools? I just wonder whether Esca is something that we've...
No, they call it Esca.
They do call it Esca.
Oh, they love acronyms in cricket. So yes, I think Esca's fair play.
Good. Well, we have Winslade, who batted very well, I think, for his 29 or 30 towards the end of the Esker innings. He is now just warming up, doing a few lucid deliveries.
32 he scored.
32, was it?
Yeah.
So he was the second top scorer, I think.
Yes, he was.
After Jackson's 50 and then a very good 29 from Zaman. So it's Winslade now. He's on. Up to the stumps and he bowls, and shortish delivery that Abel just goes back foot and pushes it back down the wicket. No run. So Winslade, he well-built fellow. I would say he's 6 foot, and he has a slightly his. Feet sort of just splay out a little bit as he comes in. He bowls now, and this one's turned nicely into the leg side by Abel. He'll pick up an easy single as it the mid-wicket fielder comes around, and so that takes the total on to 6. We got Elaine now, who we're all very excited to see bat. He's Steve Salisbury, who was in earlier, talked about the quality of his cricket, and as a very accomplished young batsman, so he steadies himself over his bat. So Winslade bowls, and that indeed is a very firm looking shot, and he may well get 4 for it. It's half stopped, but it does cross the offside boundary rope now. That firmly came off the middle of Elaine's bat, and the fielder at point made a good fist of it, but was unable to do anything more than parry it. Trickled over the rope, so the score moves on. Elaine off the mark with a 4, 10 for no loss. And,
doesn't need much invitation, just a touch of width, and he played a sort of a very quick shot off the back foot.
Winslade comes in, and Elaine just knocks this back up to mid on. Where do you think is that Sohal? Do you think at mid on? Testing you to the full.
Well, yes, it's like sort of spot the ball.
Well, well, anyway, we'll call it an Escafielder.
An Escafielder. I mean, the scorers who normally put up the fielder.
Well, they've given up on this one, haven't they?
Well, they never started. They didn't try, I don't think.
So we've got very much an offside feel for Elaney as Winslet comes in and bowls, and a shortish delivery. Nice fielding by the man at short extra cover there. It was a square cut, and he dived to his left, caught it first bounce, both hands. So yes, we've got a wicketkeeper first slip, third man, point, extra cover, short extra cover, mid off, as Winslade bowls, and Elaine just goes back, doesn't quite time it, and it's fielded at mid off. That's the end of the second over, 10 for no loss. And both these two batsmen looking pretty untroubled and actually seeming to time the ball better than we saw the Esker openers. Jackson, Tassel and Duckett all seem to struggle.
I think the MCC bowlers bowled a full length, and that's what Esker are going to have to do. Elaine has played comfortably off the back foot, always a sign of a good player. And if he is related to the Elaine family, he comes from very good stock. Obviously, there was a Hartley Elaine slightly earlier on, and then Mark Elaine from Gloucestershire. And I think Ian Elaine was in charge of Barbados cricket for a while until he tragically died quite recently.
And it's Webster in to start a new over, and this one is, well, it's getting it for four runs, in fact. It's a fine tickle from Abel round the corner, and fine leg, wasn't able to get round quick enough, and just beat him to the boundary, so 14 for no loss.
And it's difficult for the skipper when the bowler, that's the second over, and both of the first balls of each over have gone for four, so it's quite hard to claw back.
It is, isn't it?
And they've both gone down the leg side, down the slope, of course. This one was hit much finer, so the finder doesn't quite know which way to go.
So Webster tearing in again, bowls, and foolish drive from Abel straight up to mid-off, where it's, well, I'm going to credit it as Sohal as the fielder. So was it Mark Elaine, was he at Dulwich College?
I think he was. There's a real a Dulwich connection with Surrey and with English cricket. Chris Jordan is a Dulwich boy, plays for Surrey.
Right.
People were speaking highly of him, but he was injured for a while and hasn't quite made the mark this
Webster
season.
Webster bowls, and Abel just back on his foot, pushing the offside. No run.
Roger Knight was, a Dulwich player, a former secretary of MCC.
I'll tell you, the other one is our commentator who very recently died in a fire. Trevor Bailey was Dulwich.
Was he now? Right, right.
So, Webster bowls, and I think there was a muffled appeal for something. I think it was just a thickish edge onto the pad there. It was good delivery from Webster. Probably the first time Abel's looked a little bit troubled as he came forward to a full pitch delivery. I should say it's a glorious scene in front of us. Although there's plenty of cloud about at the moment, the ground is bathed in sunshine. And temperature is... there's still a stiff breeze, but really bit of heat being generated by the sun. As Webster bowls this one, it's a shortish one, pushed by Abel, but he's not able to time it, and Point comes around, does the fielding.
They ought to try perhaps an opening partnership with Kane, and you could have Kane and Abel, but they've gone with Elaine. He's obviously a classier player.
Elaine and Abel, so it's still got a ring to it.
Elaine and Abel, that's quite a tongue twister.
As Webster bowls, and it's a quickish delivery, which again Abel isn't not able to do a huge amount with apart from just push it out to the point fielder. So that's the end of the fourth over, and sorry, third over, and the score is 14 for no loss. So just the odd loose delivery, but otherwise these two opening bowlers have looked reasonably accomplished.
And Webster's probably the quickest on view so far today, I hazard a guess.
He looks it, although it's always difficult to judge, and it may just be that Abel and Alain, just being that bit older, just have more time. Because otherwise, I mean, Kent certainly bowled some pretty quick deliveries. The ones that where he bowled people were moving. Anyway, it's Winslade bowling, and this one is, well, it's a poor delivery.
Caribbean-style shot, wasn't it?
Which is shortish on leg stump, and Alain just, well, swishes it away that you might a wasp, and picks up four runs for it. And as you said, he doesn't need a huge amount of width. He's quickly on to anything that's just fractionally away from the danger zone.
And he'll enjoy the short boundary. He did lift his foot as he hit it, which is a very distinctive Caribbean trait.
What can Winslade do this time? He bowls, and this time again it's a similar sort of ball, but Alain just goes onto one leg and just almost one-handed takes the hand off the bat and just dabs it down into the leg side, and they pick up an easy single, 19 for no loss.
This is more like a real power play. We were talking earlier about whether the schoolboys actually play power play cricket, and there are one or two competitions in which they do, but this morning the MCC bowlers bowled so well that it became more like just a real cricket match.
So Winslade bowls, and well, that's a lovely looking shot from Abel. He just rocks back, and he just punches it through the leg side. He's going to get three runs for it. Good bit of fielding down there by the Esker fielders. And yeah, that really was a very nice shot. Just showing how much time he had. There wasn't a huge amount wrong with that ball at all. Possibly a bit on the short side, but all about timing.
Well, we did mention earlier that the MCC team are just slightly older and therefore slightly better developed already, and one or two shots we've seen so far suggest that they may find boundaries easier to come by.
Yeah, so far making it look relatively easy as Winslade bowls, and this time Alain just picks out the fielder at mid-wicket. No run. Now at the moment the scoreboard is saying that this is Webster bowling.
And your contention is that it's not?
Well, to date, I've been describing him as Winslade.
We'll check our scoreboard.
And there's a peal on this delivery from Winslade for LBW, but I think there was a lot of bat on that from Alain.
It's Webster bowling now, according to the MCC website that's doing ball-by-ball scorecard.
Right. So there we have it. So, to get this right, Webster then is bowling from the nursery end. I would say he's over 6 foot. So the wind is so strong, actually, the cap's just blown off the mid-on's head and just gone skirting across the field. Umpire Ripley has just picked it up and handed it back to him. And so Webster's coming in. And it's a full delivery, which just wraps Alain on the pad.
Now, are you sure that's umpire Ripley this end?
No, but I thought I'd give it a whirl.
I still think it's David Shepherd reincarnate coming in from square leg now. It's a spitting image, really.
We're just Reverend Ripley or Bertie Toombs. Yes, we don't know. But anyway, both umpires seem to be doing a good job. I haven't had that many decisions to make today, but they said seem to be about right. So it's Winslade who opened the bowling. He will be continuing from the pavilion end. And just a fielding change. The first slip is going out. And he's going, well, it's an interesting field. So they're putting, first slip is going into extra cover. And then we've got another fielder in on the offside and a point as Winslade comes up and bowls. And this one just turned off his legs by Abel, but not able to pierce the field, fielded by mid-wicket. And you can probably hear from the outside, Mike, just the gusty wind that we've got today. As you see the cricket whites just of the players just rippling in this breeze.
Yeah, I think breeze is probably understatement. I mean, it's a strong
it's
wind.
It's a gust, isn't it? Yeah, very. And this livery for Winslade just allowed to go through by Abel. He's 13 not out at the moment. I should say he's a pupil of Taunton School. And I think we had, was it Cottingham? I said there was someone else who is from the West Country.
Queen's College Taunton.
Queen's College.
Jake Lintott, the left-arm Chinaman.
That's right.
So they're probably...
They probably know each other quite well.
Local rivals.
Yeah. And another delivery from Winslade just outside the off stump. No shot offered by Abel. You can probably down to our right here, we've got, I'm not quite sure what is going on, but some measuring going on. We've got
probably the
outside the pitch.
Archery.
Do you think it's the archery?
It could be measuring for the where the butts will be. Who knows?
Anyway, Winslade comes in, he's bowling, and that one's just batted back up the pitch to him by Abel. He fields off his own bowling. Well, it looks to me as the type of thing you might be measuring out a 100-meter sprint track. Mick Hunt's down there. Or is that the boundary for the next match they're going to be playing? Or
new drainage system.
Anyway, Winslade comes in a bowls and carbon copy delivery. No stroke offered from Abel as it goes through to Duckett behind the stumps.
I'll tell you what, Winslade must have been happy when Skipper said, which end would you like?
That's right.
Webster's face must have been a picture when he was told he was bowling into a gale.
Yes.
Burl into a gale to Hartley, not to Hartley, Anthony Elaine. Not a good prospect.
So Winslade would probably qualify as an all-rounder, wouldn't he, on his performance so far today?
Definitely.
He bowls this one not so good. It's a shortish delivery. In fact, they'll probably only get a single for it as the third man fielder is quickly round. Good throw into the stumps. Abel moves on to 14, score 23 for no loss. That's the end of the fifth over. So Abel will hug the strike. Just the single off that over.
Yeah, well, they've certainly looked just that much more assured and slightly stronger than the Esker openers did. Bowling a little bit less consistent. And accordingly, this run rate's already over 4.5, they only need 3.9.
So it's Webster just surveying his field. He steadies himself now. He begins his run. His toes slightly pointed out as he bowls, and a fairly innocuous delivery, which Abel again is happy to let go through. And Abel's slightly setting out his stool here, saying, you're going to have to bowl a bit closer to the stumps for me to offer a shot.
Well, at this stage, after five overs, MCC sorry, Esker were 11 for no wickets, so they've doubled that score after five.
As Webster bowls, and that's a full delivery, just dug out by Abel, and a good bit of fielding by the player at mid-wicket there, just to get his hands on the ball and prevent any run. But yeah, Abel just a little bit hurried to get his bat down on that ball.
Also, you've got a left-hander, right-hander combination, which is always challenging for bowlers bowling on a ground for the first time with a 7-foot slope to contend with.
Webster bowls, and again, Abel happy to let it go through. Although, I'm just looking at it, we haven't really seen much of a lane, have we? If you think of most of these five overs have been taken by Abel.
Yes.
I would think, what is it? So we've had 33 deliveries.
He's had at least 20.
At least 20, yeah. Webster in on his way again up to the wickety bowls, and well, an expansive looking shot from Abel, which doesn't connect. His hand comes off the bat, but it's rather unconvincing all round.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard cutting on a slow pitch.
Yeah,
you just get the timing so difficult.
Yeah,
threw the shot too soon, I think.
Yeah, and Abel, having looked in fairly good touch earlier on, has certainly become becalmed quite quickly, and that one is a good delivery from Webster and beats him outside the off stump. Abel coming forward, and no undue alarm. There wasn't any Webster raising his hands up above and saying how unfair, how unlucky he's been.
They're just starting to pitch the ball up a little bit more and getting the batsman to come onto the front foot, which is what they should be doing.
As Webster bowls, and that one's very nicely turned. He's going to get four for this. He's just lent into it, turned it into the leg side, and it crosses the boundary rope now. And Abel picks up another boundary. He moves to 18, score 27 for no loss. And I think that's the thing that's impressed me just from these early overs, is both these two batsmen, when they do play attacking strokes, seem to be middling it and really playing some very nice shots indeed.
Yes, well, the later the later you can play it, particularly on a slowish pitch, the better. And he certainly waited for that one, ball drifting in to his pads, and waited for it, and then just turned the wrists and hit it past right mid-wicket's right hand. Right in the middle of the gap.
So that was the end of the over, and so we've got Winslade coming in from Pavilion. He bowls, and Elaine's going to get a single as he guides this down to third man. And so he moves on to 10, 28 for no loss. It will be interesting to see now whether or not we have five or so balls of Abel before we get to see Elaine again.
Yep, Elaine rotates. That's what you have to do, in particularly in one-day cricket.
Winslade bowls, the shortish delivery, quite wide outside the off stump. Wouldn't have been that far away from being called a wide. And again, Abel offers no shot. So the MC school players, they are still at their schools, we think?
Or have just left.
This delivery from Winslade, Abel comes correctly forward, just pushes out the point, no run.
I think they might, they could have just left, I think. I think it would have been picked on the basis of who the MCC played this past summer, or this summer. And therefore, some of them will have left school, but only just. And others may still have a year or possibly two to go, depending on how talented they are. But they are, I think physically, they're just a little bit bigger than Esker, who are a year or two younger.
Yeah. Winslade bowls, that's a shortish delivery. Great bit of fielding there by the player at point. That, if he hadn't got hold of that, that would have been four runs. But he dived well to his right and cleanly stopped the ball.
And gets a quick slap of congratulation from his cover colleague.
That's such a change, isn't it, from your and my day when we were playing. Now you, the comradeship, the teamwork.
Yeah. Yeah, the patting on the backside and all that.
Winslow bowls short delivery, and Abel just goes back, pushes it out of extra cover. So good, lively looking work from Esker. Plenty of activity, and Steve Salisbury was saying earlier, just the quality of fielding, just so different these days, and I suppose teams work on it now. You only have to turn up to for a day's play of test match to look at the England fielders out on the pitch and just see how much activity and different exercises are going on, and all this feeds through to other parts of the game. And Winslade bowls, he's just drifted onto leg stump, but he'll get away with it. It'll just be a single as Abel tickles it around to fine leg. So that's the end of the fourth Winslade over. The score is, well, I think it's 30 for no loss. Abel on 20, Elaine on 10. And, well, Abel has this habit of just nicking the strike. And he's done it quite successfully there. So Elaine continues to just get the odd ball sporadically. I make it, he's faced one ball in the last three overs.
Yeah, it'll be a little frustrating.
Winslade comes in, Webster comes in, and Abel just lets this one go through. Scoreboard. This is 29 for no loss, Abel on 19. So as Terry was saying earlier, we've got a few more spectators in, I think, this afternoon. But it really is a sprinkling of individuals. But there's Webster bowls, and Abel comes forward, thinks about a run, but wisely elects not to, as the fielder at point is quickly in.
Well, some of them may have left in the morning to go and put on some thermals and have come back in the afternoon.
And hopefully haven't forgotten their sunglasses in the process.
I know, it's one of those days, isn't it?
Well, it's great for us, because I had anticipated, I mean, listened to the weather forecast this morning, I thought we might well be getting rain about 1 o'clock. Fingers crossed it continues. It's Webster bowls, and well, he beats Abel outside the off stump. It was a strange delivery, really, and probably a slightly slower one. And it went through on the second bounce to duck it behind the stumps. For no loss. What Esker have done very well is they've restricted the boundaries, which early on they were considering one early in each over, but of late they found their radar, and we just settled into a gentle pattern at the moment. And the pattern is very much as with that delivery. Opening bowlers coming in, and Abel just letting the ball go outside the off stump. And Elaine sitting there very patiently.
I hope so.
The difficulty is, of course, you never quite feel in if you're only facing one ball every now and again. Anyway, Webster's in, and that one is just prodded down the pitch by Abel. No run. I'm still intrigued by what's going on. Over to our right, we've got Mick Hunt and a groundsman. There's a yellow measuring tape, and they're having animated discussion. But what they are doing is beyond all three of us in the commentary box at the moment. As Webster comes in, and carbon copy delivery, Abel just comes forward, drops it into the offside, and no run, end of the eighth over, 29 for no loss, Abel 19, Elaine 10. Elaine will be pleased because he will get to
Play some cricket.
Play some cricket. Now there's something strange because they've also got over here on the right, they've got the markers used to mark out the inner circle, all lined up in beautiful straight lines.
Yeah, it's maybe it's reaching out to people in outer space.
Something strange going on as Winslade comes in, and a nice looking stroke from Alain, but he doesn't get any runs for it as it's fielded by Sakandi.
And maybe these are crop circles down here. These
well,
stains,
that's what I wondered,
as
exactly.
You referred to them earlier.
You know what we're going to have to? We're going to have to at some point get Mick Hunt out
I
here.
Think we should interview Mick Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't normally get much airplay.
He doesn't.
He might get asked about his pitches.
But there's a myriad of activity around this ground that he'll be able to update us on. As this one from Winslade is just knocked into the offside by Alain, but he can't get it past the fielders. No run.
And the run rate's gone down to 3.5. They've been stuck on 29 for several balls now. Just body language improving for the Esker fielders. David English, who might be over here shortly, will be pleased.
So Winslade bowls, and well, that's a good bit of fielding by the fielder at point. As Alain didn't quite middle it, squirted more off the outside edge. But there was that short boundary there, if the fielder had missed it, there would have been four runs. And that's such an important aspect of the game, supporting the bowlers. Good fielding, just suddenly a little bit of pressure on both Alain and Abel, just creeping in as the run rates just drop down. And it's all confidence to the bowlers. Again, Alain on this one, just turning it into the leg side, but he just picks out the fielder at mid-wicket. Another dot ball.
And Esker have taken a leaf out of MCC's book in the field. The fielders are probably 30 yards rather than 35. Sorry, 25 yards rather than 30. One of them has now just gone back to the edge of the ring. He walks in.
There's this delivery from Lane, forces it into the offside, but no timing. And the fielder from extra cover just makes a diving, rather exaggerated stop. And that was the fifth ball of the over, so potentially another maiden coming, so this would be a good mini fight back from
Esker.
And if they are to win, this is exactly what they need to do. Really tight bowling, backed up by great fielding. And well, Alain has shown his frustration a bit here. He may well get four runs for it. He does indeed, as he goes over on the offside, but he didn't middle it at all, and that could easily have gone anywhere. But short boundary, he's got away with it. He moves to 14, and it's 33 for no loss. And well, I think if you were English schools, you would feel that you certainly had the best of the last couple of overs.
Without doubt, without doubt. But of course, a big zero in the wicket column. They can go along quite happily for three and over for a while if they need to, as they keep wickets intact.
So it's Webster now continuing from the nursery end, and that's a foolish delivery which is pushed firmly up by Abel, fielded mid off. No run. I understand it's free entry today into the ground. So if anybody fancies a bit of cricket, this is the place to come. There's Webster bowls. And Abel this time picks out the mid-on fielder. And if you were to come, you've got a choice of pretty well any seat in the building, in the ground.
There's only two more matches this summer. Both big games, England-India on Sunday in the NatWest Series, and then the Clydesdale Bank 40-over final on the 17th of September.
Webster Bowles, nice-looking shot. And a great stop there by the cover fielder. Otherwise, there would have been four runs. Abel just rocked onto his back foot, played it firmly into the covers, and a diving stop prevented the boundary. So another single, 34 for no loss. That brings Elaine on to strike.
And they've got a man, only allowed two men out of the power play, and they've got a man that's just behind square to stop Elaine flicking it Caribbean style down there, and means that fine leg has to be up in the circle. Third man, the other one out.
And foolish delivery from Webster, which is Elaine just knocks up to mid off, no run. Yeah, both batsmen looking fairly relaxed. We've got Abel at our end, the nursery end, just leaning on his bat, cross-legged, looking very relaxed. And Elaine now steadies himself, very straight back lift, positions himself, and full delivery from Webster, which is just knocked up to mid off. No run. Yes, I think your point is right, that the fuller deliveries, players are struggling a bit just with the timing. Because we haven't seen many sort of half volleys driven for four on this ground. And that's going to be called a wide, that one from Webster. He's just straight down the leg side. So another run to the total. But what we have seen is generally if people are anything short, batsmen have been able to make hay with. Certainly the case with these two. Webster Bowles, and it's a full length delivery, but just guided by a lane out to the fielder at point. So brings up the end of the over, 35 for no loss, Abel 20, Elaine 14. And what we're seeing, the English school's doing a very good job at the moment, just batsmen, bowlers and fielders just supporting each other really well, and the run rate now down to 3.5, having initially been up above 5. And that's the end of the 10th over.
Same stage. Esker were 22 for 1. So they have pulled it back a little bit.
It's Winslade now continuing. A shortish delivery. Just pushed out the offside by Abel. And fielders quickly round. So one of the things, of course, with when you're only chasing 4 and over, there's no need for these batsmen to do anything other than what they're currently doing. They know they're going to be some odd bad balls bowled, and they'll make some runs, and it's just about building a good platform as Winslade bowls, and that's a goodish delivery. He beats Abel outside the off stump as Abel rather leant for it. Didn't properly get his feet moving.
Yeah, it was a get-out shot, really, wasn't it?
It was.
Easy to have nicked that to the keeper.
Yeah.
You either leave it or you play decisively.
And but yes, we're in a very becalmed phase of the game at the moment. Although Winslade is putting no shortage of energy into that, and unfortunately on that one he's strayed to leg side, which is clearly where Abel's very strong. And he just turns it very nicely for 4 into that short leg side boundary. So he moves to 24 not out, and 39 for no loss is the score. And it's what we've seen with these players, is both these two batsmen, is anything that's a little bit short or a bit wayward, they're pretty good at putting away. Webster Bowles, that's a short delivery, but good bit of fielding again from the fielder at point. Is it something that went straight to him, but it's the way he, on the bounce, went straight into his hands.
Yeah, it's been good fielding all day. Mick Hunt has left the scene of the dots and the
tape measuring.
The tape measuring. He's walking back down below us, having a look at the cricket, hoping no one's standing on his prime pitch for Sunday.
As Winslade comes tearing in, and it's a good delivery, just brings Abel onto his front foot, and the ball's knocked up to mid-off. No run. So yes, I think these two batsmen certainly look pretty assured at the crease. And what we've seen of Abel so far, he does play very nicely off his pads into the leg side.
Yes, and Delane will probably latch onto anything loose as well.
Winslade bowls and pushes Abel onto the back foot. And a couple of bounces. And Winslade fields off his own bowling. That's the end of the 11th over. 39 for no loss. And, at the moment, it all looks as though the MCC have got this rather under control. And probably time for the Esker captain, who is Velani. Is it Kishan Velani at Brentwood School, who had not a day he'll necessarily remember with the bat. He was out for a second or third ball duck.
Yes, I think it was certainly early.
Yeah. He's going to need to think about fairly soon how they get wickets if these two opening bowlers begin to tire a bit. As Webster starts his sixth over, and Elaine turns it into the leg side, and they run. Because what we don't know, of course, is what sort of bowling talent there is.
Well, there's probably going to be at least one good spinner, I would have thought.
Yeah, as Webster bowls, and that's a flick from Elaine. I thought for a second he really got hold of it, but in fact it was just a flick, and went to deep square leg for a single. 40 for no loss. And so it's Abel. He's on 24 not out, and he's facing Webster, and he himself is going to get certainly a single here as he turns this down towards fine leg. And a nice bit of fielding from the fine leg fielder. Very strong throw comes in straight over the top of the stumps. But another single to scoreboard, 41 for no loss.
Slightly heavier cloud away to our right now. But it's all blowing in so quickly that it just comes through.
It seems to be, yeah.
Doesn't have time to drop any rain.
So it's Elaine now waiting for Webster bowls. And full delivery, almost Yorker length, which Elaine digs out. And no run. So it's MCC. I'm just looking at the pavilions, the dressing room is in front of us. So the MCC are the one to our left.
Yes. Underneath the flag.
Yeah.
And that'll be the home dressing room, of course.
And that is the home dressing room, isn't it? Yep. So, yeah. Webster bowls. Lovely shot. That really is the shot of the day from Elaine. He's going to get four runs, flashing cover drive. Pick the spot beautifully. Webster just fractionally overstraying. And Elaine was onto it in a flash. And that's the first time we've seen a full-blooded cover drive of that nature, I think, today.
Yes, I think you're right. Yep. He got a good stride in and timed it beautifully. That was the key to it, I think. And beat extra cover.
So he's on to 19. 45 for no loss. Webster Bowles and a slowish delivery, which Elaine finds easy, just to clip off his toes down to square leg for an easy single. End of the 12th over, 46 for no loss. Elaine on 20, Abel on 25, and Elaine is paying Abel back at the moment. He's managed to nick the strike with that single.
And the Duckworth Lewis par score is 23, and so they're double the rate they require for any rain affected situation later on. I presume it's a 20 over that would be required in order to get a result. So there's still another half an hour of cricket required before that can be confirmed.
Got it. Well, you can tell me, Terry, you'd probably know this. When they have lunch in the pavilion, do they have the two teams sit down together? Do they have separate tables, or?
I think they sit down. Well, there's only one player's dining room, and
right,
they would tend to drift in and out at different times, and I suspect they would sit on different tables. I mean, you can set it up different ways, but I'd imagine they'd sit on different tables.
And that'd be the same for
and some of them might take it back to the dressing room and just have a snack there.
Got it. Well, we've got a change of bowling, and it's Sakandi coming in from pavilion end, and his first delivery to Elaine is a good one, and Elaine forces it up to mid on. Well, there's no run. And so in a test match, again, similar things. So you still have the two teams potentially eating at the same time, but on their tables.
I think so, yes.
That's the tall Sakandi. He bowls, and Elaine looks to thrash this through the covers, but isn't time it at all. And in fact, it's Sakandi who does the fielding off his own bowling. So Sakandi looks today like he may well be the tallest of the bowlers we've seen. I would think he's 6 foot two or three.
And the rest.
So he's tall, lanky fellow. He's coming in off a 15, 20 metre run. Very upright, and that delivery just straying onto leg, and Lane just flicks it off his pads, and he'll pick up a single as the deep square leg fielder collects the ball. So 47 for no loss, and suddenly this partnership looking to be a very important one in terms of laying the foundation. So Esker need a wicket. Sakandi bowls, and a nice looking shot from Abel, but as so often with cricket, he's not going to get a run as he picks out the fielder in the covers. So the score remains 47 for no loss. So just two more games of the season is after this one at Lord's. Sakandi bowls, and Abel comes forward very correctly, and a dot ball. So, and I often remember, of course, the one day final used to be, you know, one of the events actually in the sporting calendar. But I guess in the last however many years, a bit like the FA Cup, you know, it's just subsided in level of interest and everything.
Well, it's always
Sakandi bowls, and very good stop by the fielder at square leg. They think about a single, and but in the end, decide not to take it.
Yeah, it's always a little difficult when you're changing your formats and structures, as the Test and County Cricket Board and ECB have done over the years. You used to have the B&H final in the middle of the summer. It was normally on the same weekend as the Formula One, I think, the British Grand Prix, and then of course the NatWest, or earlier the Gillette Cup. That was the end of season final, when you put the
That's
upside
right.
in, and everyone, the batting side would be 54 for two after 18 overs. And so, yeah, it's changed a little bit. I mean, I think this 40-over competition has produced some interesting cricket this year because the scores are so much higher because of 2020.
That's right. It's changing. And, dramatically.
So suddenly 300 is now available for 40-over cricket.
Well, we've got a change of bowling, and it's Will Rhodes is coming on. I am going to depart at this point, and Terry will continue the commentary, and David English will be joining us as our expert summariser.
How about that? Right, well, so as David English comes into the chair, I will describe Rhodes and smashed away by Alain for four. That was a poor opening ball, probably just going down the slope a little bit, and Alain had no problem in smacking it. That's the 50 up. 51 in 52 minutes. Alain and Abel both 25 each, and MCC looking in a strong position as David enters the chair. Good afternoon, David. I love
Terry,
to see
you.
Terry,
how are
again.
You? Great to see you.
Very well indeed.
Great to see you, Tel.
Great to see you too.
Yes.
Well, it's an interesting day. It's more like November than August.
Yes, autumnal.
Yeah, definitely autumnal.
The rust, the greens, the yellow, the ochres. And that's just what I'm wearing.
Yeah. Another four there for Alain, who just rocks back and cuts Rhodes for a second four. That's consecutive fours.
Yeah.
Now, we were mentioning earlier, David, the MCC boys are on average about a year older, maybe even a year and a half older?
A year and a half to 2 years older, Terry, yes. Yep. That's always the way. The Bunbury, these lads were featured in the Bunbury Festival last year, so they are just about 16 now, 16 and a half.
But the cream of the crop, of course.
Absolute cream of the crop from last year.
Alain just flicks that down, third ball down to fine leg.
Is this Mark Alain's son? Terry, is there any relation?
Well, we're not sure if he's son, but we definitely think he's related.
Yes.
And the Alain family is fairly famous. Widespread and common in
yes.
Barbados.
Yeah, absolutely.
He may be connected to Hartley or Ian Alain, who recently died. He was the Barbados Cricket Association CEO.
Yeah.
So Alain is obviously good pedigree.
And there's Penny Alain and Drury Alain, isn't
of
there?
Of course, yep. Yes, yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
All down there.
But you'd know more about that.
Yes, indeed.
So we've got now square leg is going back. The field has to go a little bit more defensive, but they're not through the power play yet. The power play wasn't really so evident in your innings, in the Esker innings.
No.
I thought that the MC schools bowled particularly well, actually.
Well, we never really got a partnership together, Terry. Bazit Zaman batted well.
He did bat well, didn't he?
And the opener who got 50 was great, but the lad who I thought was going to do well was Kishan Vellani, the captain, who batted number four at Brentwood School and a wonderful player. Yeah, he's just been, as you know, played for the England under-19 side at the age of 16. But I must have put a jinx on him. It's like everything. You build people up, Terry, and then he was out third ball.
Out third ball, yes.
But I thought that he and Bazit might have put on a partnership. But so, sadly, we got to 199 without really getting a great partnership together.
Yes, and if just one of them had gone on, you could have maybe got 230, 240.
Yes, yes, which
so
we need.
56 for no wicket, and it's Abel facing Rhodes, who's a gentle medium pace, comes in bowls a little bit short, and Rhodes... Sorry, Abel rocks back and pushes it out to mid-on.
Yep.
And also, in terms of sheer size and physicality, when you're playing on the edge of the square, which is presumably traditional,
yes,
the bigger boys have got a slightly better chance of clearing the ropes more often. I think you only scored a 1-6 today.
We did, yeah. Bassett got a 6. But we have another bowler who I'm surprised hasn't bowled yet, Terry, called Abhi Sikander, who's from Ardinglay College.
No, he has. He had... While you were walking up.
Oh, okay.
He's had one over. In fact,
yep.
Yeah, he's on now.
Okay,
yeah.
I see it now.
This
well,
is his second over, yeah.
Well, he's got a lovely action, and he would be my big hope.
Right.
I hope he's going to kind of break this partnership, which we need to do very
yes,
soon.
Yes, you do need to do it. What about spin? Have you got spinning options lower down?
Yeah, there's some good spinners there. We've got two or three spinners. But this, like, look at his run-up, Terry. It's super, isn't it?
It's very
rhythmic.
Upright and tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought he batted rather well, too, at
yes.
number 11. He came in and he knew that he had to stick around, but he also was looking for singles, backing up vigorously. And
yes.
It was entertaining. Yeah, he had a sort of entertainer look around.
Yeah, he's a very entertaining chap. He's very clever academically. I think he's going to Oxford. He's going to do a degree there, but he's also, he's one of these chaps that anything he turns to, it turns to gold.
Right, right,
right. Some people seem to be born with enough talent to last five or six people, and he's one of them. Yeah, he's a terrific chap.
Yes.
Good cricketer, a really good all-round chap, yeah.
Another four there to Alain, and the MCC just beginning to open up a little bit. Alain does look a very good player.
Yes.
He's hit some gorgeous shots, one extra cover drive, which you may have missed actually on your way over.
Right.
Was a beauty, probably the shot of the day.
Yeah.
And they have gone on to 60 for no wicket. We're in the 15th over, the last over of the power play, so they will be able to drop the field back, but they really have to get wickets. They've got to try and bowl them out really to win this match, I think.
Without question. And there is a Lara quality about him.
Yeah. When there's like that.
That. But the shot off the hip for four, which was a bit like Gordon Greenidge.
One foot in the air.
Yeah, that Caribbean way.
Yes.
It's a wonderful Lara-esque kind of way of batting. They had terrific flamboyance about them, don't they? And dexterity, the West Indian lads.
They do. They do. And they would prefer to play on slightly faster pitches than this, and indeed slightly faster pitches than are now the case in the Caribbean, but they still have that flamboyance.
Yes.
Another single to Alain. He moves on to 35. Abel now facing Sikander. It's a short ball, cut, but well fielded in the covers.
Yep.
Of course, we're having terrible trouble with names up here, because you can imagine we.
Yes.
Even the scorers don't know the names of the fielders, so the fielder doesn't come up.
I see.
So we need you here probably the rest of the innings.
Thanks, sir. I've got to go now. It's like summer holidays. I don't know many of the MCC lads. There are one or two ex-Bunburys there who have played. Wilf Marriott from Radley, the little spin bowler.
Yeah, he's got a couple of wickets.
And Jack Dewhurst, who is an ex-Bunbury, but most of them I don't know so well.
Yes.
But it's funny, isn't it? Regardless of what side they're playing for, they always seem to kind of play against each other. It's the start of their friendships, lifelong friendships they make.
Yes.
They'll you know, be engaged by a county, they'll get into academy side, and then they'll meet each other along the line. It's funny how it happens, especially in cricket, that you make friends when you're 15 and it goes on to when you're 35.
Yes, yes. And the rest sometimes.
Yes.
Now, this ball is pushed into the onside by Abel off Sikander. Mm-hmm. That's the end of his third over. And Steve Salisbury was up here a little earlier.
Brilliant.
Talking us through the MCC schools and the way in which the two teams were selected.
Yes.
He mentioned that some of the Esker boys might be up at the academy or doing some ECB profiling. Yep. So is this your strongest team today, or might there be one or two who might have sneaked in?
No. Terry, what happens now? The way that used to, you got an England under 15 cap would be school team, county, region, Bunbury Festival, England under 15s. The England under 15s have now gone, and it's now an England development squad, whereby the best 11 will go to Loughborough and have one-on-one coaching as a development of excellence, really. So these boys will be the best at their age group there is. So there's no excuses there.
No. I was just intrigued by the amount of activity around the boys at this age in terms of going up to the academy and having profiling and one-to-ones and maybe rubbing shoulders occasionally with people like Strauss, who was here earlier this morning.
That's right.
Which is fantastic.
Well it's such a wonderful occasion for them. And the more that they do play with those players at Loughborough, you know, they train with the England first team squad and the Lions and whatever, it lifts their game. And
there's that's going to be out. Oh, Alain's gone. Good. He's holed out to mid wicket. Rhodes short ball. He was trying to hit it for six and probably should have done, but he got it high up the bat. The pitch is not quick, and a slow pitch can often bring about to mistimed shots. That's what happened there. So the first wicket falls at 61 for one. Alain out, caught in the deep off Rhodes for 35, and Abel remains the non-out batsman at 25.
Yeah.
So, sorry, David, you were saying...
No, that's the breakthrough we need. But the great thing, though, Terry, is they do go up and they have this, you know, Matt Prior will give a session with wicketkeeping when they're 15, and then there'll be Cookie or Ian Bell will give them one-on-one batting coaching which is fantastic, isn't it?
Well, it is. And when you have people like, I mean, in the past, you've had Alan Knott, and now you've got Bruce French looking after Pryor. So
yes.
Pryor's already looking after the next generation.
Correct.
That's a virtuous circle that, in theory, can go on and on.
Well, Andy Flower came to the Bunbury Festival this year at Monmouth School, and he actually said to the lads, he said, "You're Bunburys today, but you'll be my England players tomorrow," which was terrific. And he answered all the questions. They fired at him. What's happened now, Terry, there's far fewer overseas players in England, and Colpack seem to have disappeared. So the Bunbury lads and the academy lads are getting in there quicker. James Taylor, Ben Stokes, Alex Hales, Joss Butler, Johnny Bairstow. They were all in the Bunbury Festival 4 or 5 years ago, and now they are knocking on the England door, which is terrific. Whereas beforehand, they'd wait till they're 21 or 22, like Ramps was when he played for England. But
and
now,
and Truscothic too.
Exactly. But now they're getting in at 18 and 19.
Yeah, which is much
which
better.
Is terrific, isn't it?
I mean, I was actually surprised that Stokes played for England with an injured finger. You'd think, you know, why not have him ready and completely fit? But they must really rate his batting to have him in the one-day side.
Well, I agree with you. It is a nasty injury, by the way. It was dislocated, it was badly damaged, and to see him fielding there...
Collingwood's position, I know.
And of course he did drop a catch,
too.
He did drop a catch, so he is a wonderful batsman. He's a hard-hitting, left-handed batsman, but it was strange to see him with a dodgy finger. I thought that maybe there was
a bit
premature.
Well, Michael Holding pointed that out, didn't he, if you were watching on telly.
Yeah.
So, 61 for one. We must remember there's a match on here.
Yes.
We're hoping that from the neutral point of view, which we all are as commentators, that Esker can nip out a couple of more wickets, but it's Gubbins, the captain from Radley now
School.
Facing. Yep. Radley got two boys in this team.
Wilf Marriott and Nick.
Yeah, and Gubbins has obviously had a good season.
Very good season. He was in the Bunbury Festival 2 years ago at Charterhouse School.
Right.
And it was great when Radley was there, Strousey was there today to see from his former school, being Radley, and... When he met them all, he gave each one of them time and advice and shook their hand and presented their caps, and it lifted the game. It's terrific.
It is.
You know, and Sky Sports are very good to us as well, Terry. They give us a lot of coverage. And to be 15 and be on Sky Sports and Keith Bradshaw, what he's done here is phenomenal, to actually let these boys play on the main pitch at Lords.
Well, yes, Keith Bradshaw,
innovative.
Who's now sadly leaving the post after 5 years,
yeah.
has been a breath of fresh air and a lot more than that.
Yes.
So we're sorry to see Keith go, but some of the things that he has brought in will remain.
His legacy to actually have a game of 15-year-olds on the main pitch in September, the word gets around the country. And the children, well, adolescents really, they know if they play well, they can play at Lords. It lifts their game, doesn't it?
Of course, absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant.
So still 61 for one. We're in the 16th over, and it is Rhodes bowling to Gubbins, left-hander like Elaine. He lets that one go by, and that's the end of the over. Tell me something, David. I did ask Mr. Salisbury earlier about... The whole thing with cricket now, you've got the T20s and the 50 overs and the test matches, and if the game was brilliantly run by an independent body, you should easily be able to say, right, this is test cricket and that's what that does, and then we bring in 50 overs and 2020, but of course life ain't like that, so
no.
A lot of players' heads are being turned by T20, particularly out in the West Indies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad to see. Now, after this ball or this over, or during this over, just tell us a little bit about how you rate a 15-year-old psyche about test cricket being the pinnacle of the game. It obviously is, but it isn't apparent sometimes in the economics of cricket. That ball from Sikander is driven back, a full ball, driven back by Abel, who's still there on 25, and scores all 61 for one.
Well, to answer your question, you now have three England captains, one day in, you know, Alistair Cook, 2020, Stuart Broad, and Strousey doing the tests. There is a lot of cricket going on. The one thing I do say, Terry, is that every player will always strive for excellence. So Jimmy Anderson has always got to bowl fast and swing the ball hard, and he's in all three competitions. It is quite hard to actually keep that level up all the time. But to answer your question, at 15, they all regard Test match cricket as the pinnacle still. No question about that at all. That is the priority.
Beautiful shot there.
Fine shot through the covers.
Lovely extra cover drive by Abel. That rivals Elaine's earlier effort through extra cover too. So the score goes on to 65 for one. Abel moves on to 29.
Yeah.
And that's something that comes from their own vision of what they've seen on television, what they read about in the papers, what their coaches might tell them.
Absolutely.
And so in theory, as long as we all in the community keep that ethos going.
Yes.
Now that's UK, of course.
Yeah.
In other countries, it may not be quite the same. I mean, one day cricket in India has been, the tops really since they won the World Cup in 1983,
and now
2020 has almost revitalised one day cricket in a sense.
Yes.
Here's Sikander Bowles, and that's pushed into the offside by Abel out to cover for no run.
Well, the players themselves enjoy playing 2020. Obviously, they play to packed grounds, which is great for them. It's a different strand of the game. But, of course, everybody says if you're a fine player, you should be able to play all three disciplines. And so a cricketer now like Abhi Sikander will think, OK, what's ahead of me if I get a contract with Sussex? I go on, I'm going to play all those three areas of cricket. But still, he'd always wanted to open the bowling for England in a test match.
That's another four. The Esker bowling not quite as tight thus far as the MCC bowling was earlier. Sikander gave that one some width and a little bit short. On this kind of a slow pitch, you need to keep the ball pitched up as much as you can. Abel moves on to 33 and MCC on to 69 for one. Scheduling apart. It's this whole thing of, and this is an international question, not just an English question, as to how we keep the three all going at the same time.
Well, it's funny, Andy Strauss now doesn't play a game for England until January, so he's got time to
score double hundreds for Middlesex.
And take the children out to Disney World or whatever to have a rest, which is not a bad thing. But then after that, I think he's got 2 years of constant cricket probably.
Yeah.
Whereas Cook has got one day cricket. They're all busy, aren't they, Terry? Yeah. On the other hand, because of central contracts, you know, very few of them play very much for their counties now. Peterson doesn't really play for Surrey, and Jimmy Anderson doesn't play for Lancashire anymore. So they do give 100% commitment to the three areas. They are there for that, the England contracted players.
Yes.
So I suppose in terms of volume of cricket, it's not so bad for them.
No, and their cotton wool and flower is obviously a great coach and a great organiser and knows what the vision is and how to get the best out of people.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, Fletcher was very good and Nasser was very good at getting the England team tougher and more sort of prepared and more steely.
Yeah.
And then, but now it seems to be a very productive, sort of fruitful, open and expressive relationship.
Well, the meeting of minds between the two Andys, Strauss and Flower, is extraordinary. The way they get on together, it's almost telepathic. The way they have developed the spirit in the game. They've given them confidence, Terry. You know, in the old days, England, if they were 32 for two, it could be 3-4, there could be a collapse. But nowadays, if Alistair Cook is out, Jonathan Trott will go and get 180, or Ian Bell will score 150. They seem to have less fear of failure, and they've instilled a confidence in them that they are very good, and that shows, doesn't it?
If you look,
the upper echelons of the 11. The big scores, double centuries, 150s, whatever. Look at that. And Gooch has got lots to do with that.
No, he has. 69 for one is the score. We're having a drinks break, so there's no cricket in play. We're with David English, the spiritual leader of the Bunburys and Esker, if I can call you that.
And honoured.
I think there is a wonderful spirit about the way England are playing their cricket. And it's... as I say, it's just a question of getting the world body to organise its cricketing priorities properly and to not let maybe one or two countries run away with everything.
Right.
So that you don't have Chris Gayle running off to play for the Big Bash when he should be playing for the Caribbean T20.
Yep. Yes.
And thus not qualifying to play for his own T20 team in the World 2020 in October. There are some problems, but I mean, in England, I think we're riding a crest of a wave at the moment, aren't we?
We are. Going back to Chris Gayle, I still feel there's no greater honour than to represent your own country, and he's such a wonderful exhibitionist, isn't he? Such a terrific player. And yet the money involved in the IPL or whatever, the, you know, the 2020 and the one days, they do tend to kind of go for that, a lot of them. Having said that, there are quite a few cricketers that resisted it. Stuart Broad didn't go for it, did he, for the money? He felt that he would rest up and be fresh for England. So I still think it's split 50-50 between, okay, I've got 20 years playing this game at first class level, let's see how much money I can make. And then there's the others who just want to be the purists, the traditionalists. Yes. Obviously, you've got to get a happy medium. You've got to make money, yes, you know, as a
yes,
career.
Yes.
But it's still to represent your country, test level is still the to me, the priority.
Sure.
Tell.
Absolutely.
I think most
absolutely.
Of these boys would agree on that.
Yeah. 69 for one, play resuming with Rhodes bowling to Gubbins. He's not yet off the mark and he's had to have a drinks break just to break the early concentration, but he's not in any hurry. They're up with the run rate, exactly.
Yeah.
Only four and over required, and if they don't lose too many wickets, they should win this game. There's a bit more cloud coming in, but it's been blown over so fast that it hasn't had time to drop any rain yet. Here's Rhodes again bowling to Gubbins, who drives out to the... to mid off, no run.
A lot of prayers yesterday, Terry, when that rain came down like a deluge. I was driving down the A41 and there was floods. And I thought, please, please empty the clouds today. Do what you must do. But tomorrow, let it be sunny for the boys. It's the one day of the year that they're going to get the chance to play at Lord's.
Yes. Presumably that's why one of the umpires is a reverend.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. That's right. He was a good man. Yeah.
We think that the umpire at square leg, whichever one he is a spitting image of...
David Shepherd.
Thank you.
Yeah. Roll on 1-1-1.
Yeah, we've been waiting, but it flashed through from 110 to 114 in the first innings.
Ah.
Here's Rhodes again, bowling, and that's driven, not entirely off a half volley, but driven nonetheless by Gubbins. Waited for the ball.
Yeah.
It didn't get up, so there's a short extra cover in. There's a third man. We're through the power play now, but there's still only three men outside the circle. Square leg on the short boundary, third man and a cover sweeper. In comes Rhodes, that's on the leg stump, that one pops a little bit and Cubbins just pops it out onto the leg side, no run fielded by the keeper. Yes, I think the difference between going back to the IPL, the trouble with the West Indies is specifically that the IPL tends to be March.
Yes.
Now for England, March, one or two players can go and play it because it's just before our summer, but March is plumb in the middle of the West Indies traditional season.
Yeah.
And that one could be an inside edge. I think it probably was, and therefore technically a chance, but a very tough one. The keeper's standing up now, and third man runs around athletically to pick up and field, and there are two runs. So Gubbins is off the mark with a false shot, and the score moves on to 71 for one. Was that only a single he got?
Yeah.
So, yes, lots of challenges.
You see, these lads, Terry, they'll be now joining the academies of their relative counties, as it were, and they are being fast-tracked, which is terrific. And once again, as I mentioned about Joss Butler, to see him, the way he hits so cleanly.
Oh, wonderful player.
The eye-hand coordination is extraordinary at such a young age, and Stokes and Hales and Johnny Bairstow. So they are getting fast-tracked, and they are certainly two or three years ahead of their contemporaries, really, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
So, which is terrific.
And, of course, traditionally, one remembered Indians coming in earlier, at an earlier age.
Yes.
And we were always slightly behind.
Yeah.
Except the spinners, perhaps, came in a bit later.
Yeah.
Having had to bowl more and more. But young batsmen in particular, and fast bowlers, if they can come in earlier, then... and we manage them properly.
Yeah, well, we had an India versus Pakistan game in the Junior World Cup, the Lombard World Challenge. And I was never quite sure about their ages. All I know is one of them drove the bus in and another one had a full beard and was smoking a pipe. And I said, are you under 15? He said, no, mate, I'm 28 and I live in West Ham. No, but he didn't say that. But I'm never quite sure about the age groups from the Asian lads' perspective. They're all wonderful players. But I'm not too sure if they have birth certificates in Pakistan.
No. Well, at the moment, they don't play that much. But
No. But Hassan Raza, if he was true, he said he played in the full Pakistan side when he was 14 and a half.
Incredible.
So he played against Ambrose and Courtney Walsh when he was 14 and a half. Now, that really is young, isn't it?
Now, David, who's this bowling? Because Sikander's come off.
Right.
And you've got a spinner on, but the scoreboard hasn't got it up yet. He's looks like an off spinner.
Okay, I'll tell you.
He's got a deep square. A square
Vikram Sohail.
Vikram Sohail.
Vikram Sohail.
Sohail.
Yep.
Okay. So he's on, and he's coming round the wicket to the left-hander, and they have a backward point, cover point, extra cover, man on the boundary sweeping, mid-off, mid-on, mid-wicket, and a fine leg and a deep square.
Yep.
And Cubbins just pushes that ball forward. And
Vikram comes from Bedford School, where Alistair Cook went to school.
Right.
Coached by Derek Randall.
Uh-huh.
Alex Wakely went there too, Bedford School, very good school, and he's on Northants books.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That ball is pushed into the offside by Gubbins. He's in no hurry, just wants to get himself settled in. Faces the next ball. Good length so far.
Good competition here.
Three on the spot.
Yeah.
Gubbins just taking his time. He is in no hurry. Sahale's in again. Bowls another good ball.
Yeah.
He's got the measure of the slope, just pitching it around middle and leg stump and
excellent.
Turning it away. And that was a maiden, I think.
Yes.
So
I must leave you shortly, Terry.
Well, we'll do the
parting of sweet sorrow
and all that. Yeah. Lovely to see you.
Great to see you again,
and,
Terry. Cheers.
Thanks for all you do for the age group cricket. When they write your obituary, it'll be one hell of an obituary as far as English cricket's concerned, that's for sure. I mean, the names keep rolling off every two or three years I meet you. Another two or three players are in the England team.
Well, we've got 60 now and play for England. Recently, Chris Wokes, Butler, Alex Hales, and I have a board now at the Loughborough, at the Academy Town. We've got a Bunbury board of Hall of Fame, and there's 60 lads up there. So... I'd like to be alive to see the 100th Bunbury play for England.
Yes.
But it's a complete labour of love, Terry. It's like yourself, I love the game so much, and nothing gives me greater pleasure than seeing young people fulfil their dreams.
Yes.
At a game that I could never have played at that level. So the next best thing was to enable them to do so, and it's great to sit here with you and look at them playing, and having just met Andrew Strauss, and fantastic, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very Harry Potter-like.
God was a cricketer.
Yes, he was. Good number four. Cheers, Terry. Lovely
Take
seeing
care,
you.
Take care, David.
Cheers, Terry.
So he is Abel facing. He's on 38 now, as we say goodbye to David English. Entertaining as ever, and as enthusiastic as ever about some of the talent that's brought through the likes of Esker and other agencies around English cricket. Here comes Rhodes, who's bowled a tidy spell, and is bowling to Abel, who runs that down to third man, and there is one run, 76 for one in the 20th over now, and a few more people in the mound and tap and stand, but I think probably a couple of hundred people here by now. Certainly the MCC box is full. I think that's where David English will be returning to, and I welcome back Robin alongside me, and that's a good shot. That's four runs. That was slightly short. He's been waiting for a bad ball to really latch into, and he's got one now. That's his first boundary. Cubbins moves to 681 for one.
Well,
entertaining interview with
absolutely
David. Very enthusiastic.
And pretty entertaining batting as the MCC 11 get more and more comfortable at the crease.
Yes, yes. I mean, they're only just ahead of the rate, but they haven't lost many wickets, and I'm not quite sure what were the others at the same stage. What was
57 for one?
Yeah, so they hadn't lost that many wickets yet, but they were already 20 odd behind. And the Duckworth Lewis par score is 53. That tells a tale. Hope it won't be needed in for real life. This one's chopped out on the offside by Gubbins into the gully area, picked up, and the end of the 20th over, 30 overs to go, 81 for one is the score, Gubbins 6 and Abel 39. And the weather, well, it's getting a little bit gloomier over there. We'll just have to see.
I think the story of the game in a way is that at the same time in the Esker innings, they lost two wickets in this next over and were suddenly 58 for three. And you can see what's happened here in an innings where they've only lost one wicket. They continue to accelerate.
Yes. Absolutely. Now this is going to be an interesting battle between Sahal, who looks to be a promising off-break bowler, gives it plenty of flight, but tantalising length. Probably turns it a bit too, I would have thought. Fuller length ball there, but just pushed forward by Abel into the offside. Two men back on the short boundary, mid-wicket and square leg. Short, fine leg. Mid-wicket, mid-on, saving singles on the onside. Shorter ball and a slower ball. And they go for a single. A good single, too, into the offside. There's only three men, or two men, in the cover area. And that was pushed in between them. There's a cover point and an extra cover. And a mid-off and a sweeper on the cover boundary. But now it's the left-hander to face, so they have to change the field around. And always frustrating for a captain and a bowler. Just rearranging the field now. Short extra cover moving in for the left-hander, Gubbins, who faces up to Sahal. Sahal from wide of the crease, and Gubbins goes back and is hit on the pad, I think, but it may have done a little bit too much. A bit of a shout, the umpire wasn't moved. We don't have the benefit of TV replays up here, so we can't really judge exactly what happened. Here's Sahal again, from wide of the crease again, and Gubbins stretches forward, pushes out onto the offside, and again no run. Still 82 for one. A little bit chillier out there now, no sun around. The clouds have pretty much covered up any real brightness. Another dot ball there as Sahal completes the second quite tidy over. Abel on 40 and Gubbins on 6. And we now, if we are rained off now, then Duckworth Lewis will come into play. We've had 20 overs. But they're going to have to bowl them out, aren't they?
They really are. And they need a wicket badly to the English schools, because the pressure is dissipating. And right now they've just dropped below the required run rate, technically, but there's no sense that the pressure is on the batsman. And soon, if they get past 100 psychologically, they'll be thinking, only 99 to win. And I think both sides can then fall into assuming the game is over. So, a wicket badly needed.
A new bowler, rather. It looks like another spinner. David English can't tell us, but the scoreboard will tell us shortly, I suspect.
This could be Hassan. And it is.
Leg spinner. Short ball, first ball. And hit out for a single to deep square leg. Two men on the longer boundary on the grandstand side. And now the field changes for the left-handed Gubbins.
Now this is something we've talked about all day. Leg spinner, spinning it back into the left-hander, who is eyeing up that short boundary. So Hassan cannot afford to be short here.
And he was the first ball. He's giving it a good rip. Fingers probably aren't quite warmed up yet. Here he comes and bowls. Good length ball. And Gubbins just pushes it down the pitch and fielded by the bowler. Two men out on that short boundary. Short fine leg as well. Here comes Hassan. Full toss this time. Driven through extra cover, but it's half stopped. And mid-off runs around to tidy up. So just one run to Gubbins. Didn't quite time that. Not always easy to hit full tosses if they're straight. And Abel moves into strike on 41. Here's Sahal again. Just walks up and then releases. That one gets a bit of turn and is deflected down into the gully area. Third man saving a single comes around, does his job. 84 for one. Here's Sahal. Bowls again, a bit short, and chopped out into the offside by Abel. And tidy fielding on the cover boundary. He moves on to 42 now, 85 for one in the 22nd over. Left-hander facing again. Hassan in. Another short ball, cut away, out to the sweeper on the cover boundary, and that's a single. Rather a almost overthrow by the fielder there, but it's the end of the over, 86 for one. Abel 42 and Gubbins moves on to 8.
Yes, well, good idea to bring on the leg spinner and make something happen, but the batsman playing sensibly. Terry's leaving the commentary position, and Nick will be rejoining me soon. You're listening to Ball by Ball commentary provided by the MCC in association with the Royal National Institute for the Blind, providing ball by ball commentary for almost all the matches here at Lords. And you can always request a headset in the ground from one of the stewards if you're blind or partially sighted, as Sohal comes in from the pavilion end, and the ball is dropped into the leg side by Gubbins, and there's no run. And if you're listening on lords.org, you can pick up commentary there of any match that's being covered, and you can email us ballbyball@lords.org. And Sohal in again, down the wicket comes Gubbins, and off drives this down to long off. Nicely done. Good use of the feet. It's 87 for one in the 23rd over. Nick has rejoined me.
I'm very much enjoying the batting, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen three very accomplished players with the lane.
So Hull in again, and this is pushed into the leg side by Abel, no run.
But I think, you know, clear difference. I think the three batsmen we've seen just look more at home on this surface. Use their feet well.
So Harley off spinner in again. This one's flicked down to square leg. It looked like it might be a tight single for a second, but the fielder had to turn a long way around, so just the one. Yeah, and Terry correctly predicted that the slightly older boys in this MCC side might look more at home, and as you say, they really have done. Sahal coming around the wicket to the left-handed Gubbins. Bowls now, this one's down the leg side, and Gubbins looked like he was trying to leave it for a wide, but it hit him on the pad, so no run.
So I'm not quite sure what it was the worst of both options in many ways, isn't it?
As Sahal's it again, it's short, and Gubbins rocks back and pulls this one hard over long on. Hasn't quite timed it, but it looks like it will just make it to the rope. I don't know.
Yes, it had to.
Yeah,
gone.
The fielder honestly signals, although to be fair, he's being watched by people in the pavilion. But yes, a nicely clubbed four. So, 92 for one. And Gubbins picking up where Alain left off. It's been two good left-handers and a good right-hander just... scoring easily.
And just thinking about the bowling, something Terry was discussing with David English earlier was about spinners tending to get into test cricket a bit later, and I suppose what we've seen here today with the spinners who do turn the ball but haven't yet got the control.
Yeah.
So the one loose ball and over actually makes it quite easy for the batsman.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. As Hassan, the leg spinner is back on now, and it's a full toss on leg stump, so it's only driven to mid on. But as you say, the batsmen don't feel they're being suffocated because they know there's a ball around the corner that they can hit.
Yeah, and then the odd, you know, easy to grab a single here and there.
Yeah. So Hassan's field readjusts for the left-handed Gubbins. He's in again. This is a good length ball. It turns nicely. He appeals, but it looked like an inside edge to me. I may have been a bit high as well.
And well, Gubbins totally misread that one. that was the... Well, it was the classic leg spinner, wasn't it?
It looked like it. It spun back.
Spinner to
spun
him,
back sharply and was fielded by short fine leg as Hassan's in again. But this is a full toss and it's smashed away through the onside by Gubbins, who's moved fairly quickly under 17. And the score's on 97 for one. And these last few overs have been very expensive. We had 9 off one over, 10 off the last over, and this one has already gone for 5. So, things not looking good here. I suppose this is the right tactic, though, from the English schools. Bring on the spinners, toss it up, see if they can buy a wicket and get into the middle order.
It's just loose bowling, though, isn't it?
It is. As Hassan's in again. This is a very full ball driven straight to cover, no run.
You know, if you can't get it on the spot, and, you know, one short, one full toss, it's going to be easy. And particularly when you've got a player like Gubbins, who you can see is quite aggressive.
Sand in again. Gubbins came down the wicket but had to go back as it was a bit better length than he thought it would be, and he just sort of gloved it into the ground. No run.
All that said, he's not picking.
No.
The leg spinner, is he?
But as you say, we're not saying these spinners can't turn it and don't have talent. It's just question discipline. So Hassan pushes his mid-on back to long-on, steps up, tosses it up. It's wide outside off stump, and Gubbins covers everything with bat and pad, and the ball runs out for no run. So after 24 overs, it's 97 for one, and at the equivalent stage, the English scores were 72 for three.
Yeah.
So that tells you quite a lot.
Well, at the moment, it's clearly MCC are comfortably ahead, but a couple of wickets. You kind of feel that, you know, they'd like to really have them 97 for five now.
Yeah.
On the basis we expect MCC scores to be reasonably accomplished, batting a little bit down the order.
Yeah. So Hal in from the pavilion end, and Abel comes down the wicket and drives this, turns it into a full toss and flicks it through to mid-on. And both these batsmen using their feet to the spinner, which we didn't see people leaving their crease in the SK innings. Though there was still some accomplished hitting before, some foolish shots that cost batsmen their wickets as Gubbins takes strike and Sahal comes around the wicket. It's short again and Gubbins clubs it over long on again. He hasn't timed this one either, and it's just going to drop. And the mid-on fielder picks it up.
Dangerous shot.
Didn't quite club it the way he wanted to. But
neither of those shots, it's a carbon copy of the one last over. Again, didn't quite middle it.
Yeah, so Harlan again. This is full and straight. Gubbins just pushes it back up the pitch, and there's no run. 100 for one. And Sahal is right arm off-spin bowler, bowling around the wicket from the pavilion end to the left-handed Gubbins, who just drops this out on the offside, and there's no run.
But what I like about Gubbins is there's plenty of intent there, looking to get on with it and looking to take the attack to the bowler. I suppose what we haven't seen, though, is his ability to score.
Sahal in again. Oh, he squared Gubbins up there with a nice turning ball, but it's Pete and the keeper. And it's running down toward the boundary. The batsmen are going to try and take three. They're taking on the fielder's arm, but it was a good straight throw, but not hard enough.
So that was bat on that. That was a chance.
It was a good ball. It beat Gubbins in the flight almost, and then turned and took the edge.
But to me, it looks as though Gubbins is, there have been a few chances in this innings.
Yes. No, he's attacking well, and in a way, he's killing the game by going so quickly. If he were dawdling along, we'd be thinking, well, if a wicket falls now, the pressure's on, but 103 for one, they look good. Sahal again, this time he's round the wicket to the right-handed Abel, who hasn't had much of the strike recently, and that's he's on 45, and there's no run there.
But I guess Gubbins is giving one or two balls an over. He's giving keeping the bowlers interested, isn't he?
He is. And sadly, rain is now falling. I was going to say the wind has finally died down, and that's left dark cloud hanging over us.
You see rain for you. There is rain.
It's just drizzling. It's not enough to stop the play at the moment. But the ground staff are manning the hover cover, which is on the edge of the pitch to our far right up here in
but
the
media
centre.
But I'm kind of assuming that is going to be for the one-day match, isn't it?
Yes, yes, they won't cover our pitch. Yeah. They'll cover the England pitch. As Sahal, the leg spinner from the nursery end, drops very short and is clubbed into the leg side by Gubbins. He didn't get hold of it again, and the fielder at mid-wicket does a tumbling stop to keep the batsman to one. But they are ready, and the field is moving for the batsman.
I thought for a second they were being instructed to go and help put the cover on.
I thought that too. Sahal tosses this one right up to the right-handed Abel, who drives it to mid-off. The cover, you might be able to hear it now, is being fired up. can't.
It's unfortunately what that does mean, isn't it? That the moment it gets
Hassan in again. This is short, and Abel treats it with respect, just whips it through square leg for one.
Because if it was just gentle drizzle, bearing in mind this is the last time this wicket's going to be used this season, then they would just keep playing, one assumes. But because they will need to cover the test wicket, the one-day wicket.
Hassan slightly short again. Cummins goes back, but only finds mid-off, no run.
So I'm just trying to work out, so the one-day match and the 40-40, I'm just trying to work out where they'll play them.
It's a good question, as Hassan is in again, tosses this one up. This is a good ball. And Gubbins thinks about a single after pushing it out into the offside, but there's nothing there. No run. Yes, well, fortunately, it doesn't look like it's getting any heavier, so the...
Interesting to see.
Yeah. But the ground staff have turned the hover cover off again. Aren't moving, as Hassan tosses this one right up. It's a full toss. It's plugged out into the deep, and it's missed the fielder and gone for four. Gubbins finally gets hold of one and hits it down into the mound stand for four. So 109 for one. I was just about to say Hassan had got through a good over there, but unfortunately he spoilt it at the end. So after 26 overs, 109 for one, and Gubbins has raced to 27 while Abel's been stranded on 46.
It's coming down quite hard now.
And there you go. I shouldn't have said anything. And the umpires are consulting.
Oh, they should just keep playing.
I mean, it's still not, it's not heavy, heavy rain. It's still drizzled.
Nick wants them off.
Yeah. And unfortunately...
They're off.
Yeah. He's going to get priority over a game of non-first class status. So, the players are leaving the field. The hover cover is approaching what we will now discover, which strip they want to protect. It's not the one on the far right. It should be the one almost directly in line with the pavilion gates. And the drizzle is picking up a little bit of speed. We'll see how that goes. The players are walking off fairly slowly. They don't want this day to end like this when there are still runs and wickets to be had. Doesn't look heavy, but equally there's not wind to push it past as there was earlier in the day. I mean, it's still breezy, but this could be here for a minute or two. Some white cloud around the dark. And of course, as we're sort of saying, our pitch is remaining uncovered. Looks like they might be bringing something out.
Yeah, they've got to get the tractors on with the covers for our pitch. But it's not coming down with any great venom.
No, and the pitch here drained so well that this ought not to be fatal if the rain disperses.
I mean, presumably we will now get a shortened game.
Almost certainly, I think. It's a long day. 50 overs
each.
But
at the moment, it's slightly irrelevant anyway, because Duckworth Lewis par score is 74, so MCC, I mean, are comfortably ahead of that.
They
what,
are.
What are they? Best part of 35 runs.
Well, they are.
34 runs ahead. So
they're 109 for one off 26 overs. Abel 46, Gubbins 27. The equivalent score for English schools was 85 for three after 26 overs. A big canvas is being unfurled. Hopefully to cover the wicket, but they are. The ground staff are taking their time to unravel it, and they seem to be off the square at the moment.
That looks kind of soggy, doesn't it? Doesn't that?
Yeah.
Do you think that was probably the one they had out yesterday? That's
not dry yet.
Dry yet at all.
I don't know quite which area they're trying to protect.
Well, I reckon what they'll do is then shifted across.
Yeah. But maybe then... oh, well. We will keep you informed of what's going on, but for now, while it's raining, I think we'll come off air. So if you are listening We will be back with updates, and there is the live scorecard on lords.org to keep you informed, and we will cover every ball that's bowled, assuming hopefully that the rain clears. It's not heavy, but it is drizzling consistently, and so we will take a break for now and hopefully be back with some news soon.
Well, welcome back to Lords and Ball by Ball commentary in conjunction with RNIB, and we're delighted to say that cricket is about to resume. We have lost in the process 7 overs, and what that means is the MCC have a revised total of 174, which means we've had 26 overs. So 43 will be the length of their innings, so we give them another 17 overs to knock off. If I get my maths right, that's another 65 runs. And well, they currently are 109 for one, so unless they have a dramatic collapse, you've got to kind of assume they're gonna win. I'm on with Terry Blake. And we've got sunshine, cloud and sunshine. Fingers crossed we won't have any more rain. It's got definitely a sort of autumnal feel about it at the moment as Sohail comes into bowl. And well, that first delivery squirts off an inside edge and the chance of a run out. And indeed, it is a run out. And I think it will be interesting to see. That was a fantastic bit of fielding from square leg. Threw it at the non-striker's end where Abel was running to.
I'm not sure how quick the umpire was in getting into a perfect position, and certainly there's been many run outs in the past that would have been given not out for that, and you would just wonder with a replay. Direct hits often used to get them out by half an inch, didn't they?
Well, us sharp-eyed sighters from here, I reckon that was out. But I am judging from at least 75 metres away. Sohail comes into bowls, and that one's just turned away by Gubbins down to short final leg, no run. Yeah, well, that was quite an exciting first ball after the resumption.
Yeah, very good fielding, whoever it was.
Sohail bowls, and Gubbins just comes gently forward, drops it down in front of himself, and... the wicketkeeper. Remind myself who's wicketkeeping for MCC. Sorry for Esker. Duckett, isn't it?
That's well, right. We think
it's Duckett.
Well, yes. There was a slight... We had a slight disagreement, didn't we, earlier? About
yeah, we
that?
Did. But I think the scorecards got it wrong.
And well, no, but if the scorecards got it wrong... Oh, yeah, okay. Then you think Duckett is the keeper, yeah. And Villan is the captain.
And well, we've been debating who the wicketkeeper is. Just a couple of dot balls have been bowled by Sohail. He's coming in for the fifth ball of the over, or is it last over? And they're going to pick up a single, a bit of a misfield there by the fielder at point. And they stroll through an easy single. So that is the end of the first over after the resumption. 2 runs scored off at 111 for one. Gubbins on 28, Abel on 47. And I suspect we may, in the next over, watch Abel get to his 50. In the meantime, what that run from Gubbins does mean is the 50 partnership between these two is up. That's off 35 minutes, 71 balls, of which Gubbins has hit 28 of them and Abel 22. And it has been the partnership that has firmly stamped their authority on this game.
35 minutes. 12 overs. Doesn't sound quite
that's
right.
That's the spinners on there, of course. Mm. Hassan coming into bowl. It's a full toss, and that's been given the Gubbins treatment. All this time, he's picked out the fielder at mid-on. and so we'll only get a single for it. It is a shot that Gubbins favours. It's the leg side pull.
Especially with a 50 metre boundary.
Yeah, but he hasn't quite been able to get it square enough.
No.
So it's Abel now facing another full toss.
Yeah.
And, well, he's got hold of it fine-ish, but again, quickly around the fielder there from deep square leg. So he cuts it off in the boundary, and it's just a single. 113 for one.
It's lucky they're not behind the pace, because those are two balls that should have gone for four and only yielded two singles.
Yeah. And the third full toss of the over, and this time he's certainly going to get two for it. But that's all he's going to get. And again, didn't quite middle it. And I suppose we should give the batsman the benefit of actually having been off the field for half an hour. And so probably need a little bit of time just to get their eye back in.
Yes, and I think the bowler's just having to wipe the ball dry too.
So it's Gubbins, and a good delivery there from Hassan, just cramping Gubbins back onto his stumps. And Hassan thought he might just possibly have crept through the defence of Gubbins, but it was not to be. He's up again now, right arm, bowls, and nice looking shot from Gubbins, just edging it out into a sort of vacant fly slip sort of area. And they come through for an easy single.
He's getting some turn.
He's getting some turn. Well, all these spinners...
It's a slow turn, of course.
Yeah. All these spinners have, all day, got a reasonable amount. Bowls now, nice looking delivery. Nicely floated in. Yorker length. And I think that was Abel who came forward. Yes, the scorecard hasn't quite caught up. I think the score is 116 for one. And that's the end of the 28th over. So we've now got 15 overs left. And the run rate is a very gettable 4.1. Just gone a little bit dark again. A couple of clouds hopefully pushing over the ground as Hassan bowls. And they think about a single as Gubbins turns it into the leg side, but rightly decide not to. Still a fantastic scene in front of us as Hassan bowls, and very watchfully there from Gubbins. He doesn't look terribly comfortable against these spinners. He doesn't necessarily make of a step forward. He tends to try and play it off the pitch, but and then having said that, he did on this particular one. But what he's done is dispatched the full tosses reasonably well, but he hasn't necessarily managed to dictate to the spinners. And this one, well, he's gone high. He's going to be caught. He's been dropped. He skied it. It was a full toss, and well, it was all very casual, and I'm not quite sure
Hassan,
what the fielder is.
Was it Hassan?
Was it Hassan? I think it was
that's
Hassan.
That's a horrible miss. He didn't even get... I mean, he didn't get underneath it. The ball actually came down, and then he sort of put his arms out, and it was 2 feet wide of him.
Totally misjudged it. So it's Gubbins is still there, and there's an appeal for caught behind, not given. It was... Sohail bowling to Abel, so it's all happening at the moment, but a lack of concentration in the field there, and the breakthrough that Esker badly needed has not come. And Gubbins is slight times chancy innings continues, and this delivery from Sohail just very slow turn into Abel's pads, trickles down to the leg side. So the end of an over, an eventful over, and the score is 117 for one. And well, that wicket would have just given Esker a sniff.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Hassan has bowled 4 overs for 20 runs, which is tidy-ish, although in the context of this match little bit expensive. Sahal has been the more economical spinner, 0-17 off.
Hassan now, he's got the chance to redeem himself after that drop catch, but Gubbins just rocks back on the back foot and strokes into the offside for an easy single. Gubbins moves on to 3,418 for one, and the field busies itself around as the right-hander Abel comes on to strike. He's just two away from a 50, and both mid-on and mid-off dropping back 10-15 metres. And that's a full toss, and that well could well be... No, it's not going to be his 50. He's just picked out the man at deep square leg. So he moves to 49. 119 for one. Brings Gubbins on to strike. And Hassan bowls. And just prodded by Gubbins out into the offside. Another dot ball. Yeah, the interesting, just I think both Hassan and Sohal, a large number of full tosses that have been bowled. Also on that one, short. Oh, well, that's going to be... Well, that was an extraordinary shot. It wrapped Gubbins against the pad. It looked, we thought for a second he was bowled. Gubbins was way outside the off stumps. I suspect it may have hit him outside the off stump in the end. Anyway, they appealed, not given. And... And that one, Gubbins again forced back onto his stumps. Not really picking the spinners. There's a fair amount of turn out there. I think Gubbins is not sure whether to go forward or back to him.
The thing is, he's being cramped, isn't he, off the, on the back foot. The ball's turning so much.
And that one just flicks Gubbins on the boot. Trickles down to the leg side. And chance of a leg by, but they side against it. So, well... You have to say that Esker have come out the stronger after this rain break. I think we've now had, what's that, four overs and, just 10 runs. It was 109 for one when they resumed. And, of course, if they caught the simplest of catches.
Yes.
But as it is, they haven't. And it's Sahal continuing the pavilion end. And Abel comes down the stumps. They think about a single. And wisely, Gubbins sends him back. Abel, 49, not out, looking to get that 50. But Gubbins would have been run out if they'd tried that. So Hall again bowls. And that will be Abel's 50. He plays that nicely into the leg side. And a very accomplished 50. I don't think he's given many chances. As far as I can recall. Can you recall any chances?
No, I can't.
No, he's played very well. And his 50 comes from 86 balls, 105 minutes, 7 fours. And that's a 50 out of MCC schools, 120 for one. So he's playing a very sensible innings in the context of the game. And, Gubbins back on his stumps, beaten by the turn again. May have got a bit of bat on that. But certainly these spinners, both of them causing Gubbins some trouble. And the slip's gone in, which is the right move. They're going to need to attack a bit more. And Gubbins just drops this into the offside. No run.
My bet is that Gubbins wouldn't have played on such a worn pitch all season.
There's probably quite something in that. And this time he comes down the pitch and he has holed out. So he's caught at mid-on. Very good bit of bowling by Sohal. Both the spinners actually put pressure on him. And he struggled to get going really past this break. And just drove it straight down the throat of the mid-on. Who took a really fairly simple catch. And the good news is for Esker is that very little damage was done for that drop catch.
Yes, I think Hassan would have been the first up for the high fives because he would have he would love to have got the wicket in the last over, and he nearly did, having dropped Gubbins the over before. But now Gubbins is gone, as you say, without too much damage. And one wicket can sometimes bring two or three, and we might still have a game in it. But you'd think while Abel's there, and there's probably going to be at least another three or four decent batsmen, that MCC have still got this firmly in control.
So the new batsman we think. Very difficult for us to tell, actually.
Calling Lintott. The
scorecard. Lintott, okay, so the...
if it's number four. Oh, well, we'll see in a second.
The spinner.
Lintott from Queen's College, Taunton.
So he's clearly something of an all-rounder, then, with his... And
well,
yes, okay, so Taunton School, Abel, and Lintott, Queen's College,
Abel and
Taunton.
Lintott, yes. Yes, we've lost out on the possibility of a Radley partnership with Gubbins and Marriott, who's the other spinner, due to come in number five. But they haven't got the scorecard up yet. I wonder whether they might have sent in a pinch hitter. Ah.
Well, there we go.
Didn't I tell you? I told you Duckett wasn't keeping wicket. Anyway.
Well, this is all very confusing. What we do believe we know is that Sohal is bowling.
Yes, I think that's a definite.
That's a dead cert. That's the thing we got right. So he's coming in for the Pavilion. He bowls now to batsman unknown, possibly Lintott, who first delivery, Mr. and Mrs. Lintott, if you're listening at home, your son is not out. He's just prodded into the leg side. It's Ellison, is it?
Yes. We should explain to the listeners that the reason we're struggling is because the scoreboard took a long time to get the new batsman up, mainly because he came in out of order. So they've sent in someone called Ellison from Millfield, who I presume is possibly a bit of a hitter.
So also we do know is related to Richard Ellison, so the former Kent and England bowler.
That's right.
Anyway, it's end of the over, so it's Hassan bowling, and Abel, as he's done so many times, just strokes it for an easy single out into the offside, and that's so it takes the total 121 for two. Yes, the other thing, listeners, bear with us, of course, is we haven't met these players, so our ability to recognise them is really challenged.
And there's no names or numbers either.
And as yet, they're not household names, and they will be in the future. So for the TMS crowd, a lot easier for them to recognise them when their time comes. Oof. And that's a very good delivery from Hassan outside the edge of a slightly prodded bat from Ellison. A little bit of nerves there for him. It's a slightly no-win situation for him at the moment. And that one he gets bat on ball. And it's fielded at mid-wicket. But yes, for Ellison, he's what he will hope for is probably a 20-not out or something like that from this situation. And he's going to get his first run. Actually, a very nice late shot. He's going to get a couple there as he plays it, guides it into the vacant third man area. And the return is coming in now. And so Ellison off the mark. He's on two. Total 123 for two.
You imagine if you're one of the either number four or number five batsmen, you're a little bit gutted that number six has come in ahead of you. Yes. Might be your only chance to bat at Lord's.
So Ellison very watchful, back on his stumps, just dropping this down into the offside. Well, of course, the theory may be that both Lintott and Marriott bowled extensively, so this is giving Ellison the chance to actually participate in the fixture. As Hassan bowls and shortish delivery, and Ellison makes room for inside outside the leg stump, but can't get it through the fielder in the covers. So that's the end of the 32nd over. Score is 123 for two. We've got 11 overs left. The required rate is just creeping up. It's up at 4.6. And I guess the responsibility at the moment was with Abel, just to ensure that doesn't go up too much more, because all through this game we haven't seen the run rate get much above at any point of five.
No, that's right.
Sohal comes in and bowls, and that's another dot ball as it's turned to fine leg straight to the fielder. Yes, and you just see that run rate just creep up, 4.7, so every ball now, just it's just a hint of a game coming into this. A nice delivery, and he's bowled him.
He's bowled
him. Abel has gone with absolute beauty. He floated delivery, enticed Abel into the drive, and it turned and hit the top of off stump. Graham Swan-esque. And, well, terrific delivery. End of a great innings from Abel. He's out for 51, 89 balls, 112 minutes and 7 fours. He really has been the bedrock of this innings. And as we say, one wicket could fall and another. And suddenly the nerves will be there for MCC. They're then going to have two fresh batsmen at the wicket. The run rate just creeping up.
Yes. Is that after the same number of overs?
Yeah.
So after 32 overs, Esker were 120 for 5, so they'd lost more wickets. But MCC, in fact, have only scored 3 more runs now because of the break that's been applied largely since the rain break. Good innings by Abel, but just as we were saying that he was the rock around which this MCC schools would move on to victory, he's gone. A lovely ball, flighted and in inviting the drive absolutely outside the off stump. It must have spun, I would think, a foot to nip the off stump.
It's probably a lovely flighted delivery.
Yeah, beautiful ball.
And he was thrilled with it too. Arms aloft.
So now Marriott gets his chance.
So the red-helmeted Marriott. Well, short individual makes his way to the middle and just some rearranging of the field going on. 123 for 3. MCC need another 51. Marriott's taking guard. The field is coming in.
He's got a slip in, so he's attacking short extra, slip.
Which is absolutely the right thing.
Just 2 men out.
Just a sniff for Esker to get back in this game. Sohal runs in, bowls, good delivery, and Marriott let it go through, and well, it went past the off stump, but not by much. And this rain break worked very well so far for Esker, and Marriott's played a very nice shot this. He's probably going to get 4 for it. Just lent into it, into the offside. He does indeed. It goes across the boundary rope now, and yeah, classy looking shot, 127 for 3. He didn't try and hit it too hard, he just caressed it.
Yeah, played with confidence. Got the weight right onto the front foot.
And immediately, just the challenge, they haven't got many runs to play with. Esker, so the fielder goes back. And that's a short delivery from Sohal. And that's easy just for Marriott to turn it around the corner out to deep square leg. So another single on the score, 128 for 3. And Marriott's come in and just alleviated that bit of pressure that had built. Sohal bowls, and this is driven nicely by Ellison, but only into the field, so there's no run. So 128 for 3 at the end of that over. And well, I think what we just saw there was one of the challenges we've seen all day with the spinners. Some great deliveries, but just not quite enough control. And so there was suddenly, having got the wicket, instead of keeping the pressure on,
yes,
suddenly 5 wicket runs are added. Run required rate is 4.6. We've got 10 overs left. And I am going to leave you with Terry Blake and Robin Pearson.
So, here's another over of spin from Hassan, the leg spinner. That's pitching outside leg stump. Does hit the pad, but and the appeal goes up, but umpire quite rightly says not out. 128 for 3. And the Duckworth-Lewis pass score is 110 now, so they're only, well, it's still a substantial 18 ahead of it. Here's another full-length ball, which is swept but mishit off the pad, down to short fine leg, no run. And just a feel of a game about it now, Robin?
Just a little, yes.
Here's Hassan again. Bowls, and that's forward. They appeal again for LBW on the basis that it might have hit the pad before the bat. Ball runs out to extra cover. We've got a sweeper on the boundary and a deep square, deep mid-wicket. Otherwise, everyone's up for the single. No slip for the leg spinner. That one scuttles through a bit faster, and Marriott tries to cut, but the ball beats him and goes through to the keeper. Cloud's still pretty heavy. Not as bright as it was. Esker, just keep the pressure on. Who knows what'll happen. The dot ball there as Marriott just pushes forward and the ball rolls out to backward cover point. No run. And the field drops back slightly for Marriott at mid-on and mid-off now. Here's Hassan bowls, and Marriott is hurried by that one. They go for a quick single. It's a good run as the ball squirts out onto the offside between cover point and cover. That's the end of a relatively economic over. 129 for 3 at the end of it. The Duckworth Lewis pass score goes to 115, so they're now only 14 ahead of Duckworth Lewis.
I think both these spinners have bowled a bit better since the resumption. We didn't doubt their ability to turn the ball early on, but there were a lot of full tosses and shorter balls, and they've tightened up a bit and created a bit of pressure.
Yes. Just wonder whether the wind's just dropped slightly. It's still, the flags are still blowing, but it might be slightly easier conditions to bowl in, because a very strong wind can be very difficult to find your lengths.
Yeah.
Especially on the big stage. Here's Sahal. Looks like they might bowl the spinners through. This one's turned around the corner by Marriott, and he keeps looking around to see fine leg coming in, but there was an easy single there. Marriott moves to 6. Ellison is on 2. 130 for 3. 174 needed. 44 more runs needed. This one's flighted. In fact, it's a full toss, but it hits the bottom of the bat. Driven back to the bowler. No run. It really is an autumnal feel now. Gloomy and still breezy. It's a short ball, and that's pulled away. And a beautifully hit for 4 by Ellison. He got the spot absolutely right. Mid-wicket and square leg both ran towards the ball, but it was far too short, and he pulled it round comfortably and hit the boundary board very quickly. So 4 for Ellison. 6 to him now. 134 for 3. They can't afford to bowl too many 4 balls. That's a slog. A mishit slog. I reckon the bowler might have had a go at diving for that, but I think he was fooled by the very slow speed at which the ball came off the bat.
Yeah, agreed.
So Ellison moves to 7. Marriott in strike. Good length ball. Pushed into the covers by Marriott, looking for the single, but not there. Well fielded in the covers.
Yeah, it would have been an easy catch for the non-striking batsman. That's sort of where it ended up.
Yes. Sahal turns from the pavilion end, comes in towards us and bowls, and that's short, and Marriott has plenty of time to rock back and just cut the ball out towards the cover boundary. There's a sweeper there, so just for single, but that was a slightly more expensive over. And 136 for 3, chasing 174, and they're now 16 ahead of Duckworth Lewis.
Yeah, 7 off that over. At the equivalent stage, English schools are actually ahead, 137, but for 6. And so they have slowed right down, but with only 3 wickets gone, there's just not the same pressure yet.
But as you said, a double wicket maiden would probably convert Duckworth Lewis into a negative score. This one's nicely swept off his feet by Marriott, who's looking a decent batsman, busy, looking to find gaps and looking to be aggressive, positive. He gets a single. 137 for 3. Ellison in strike. Field closing in on him. And that's another leg break. I'm not sure I've seen Hassan bowl a googly, but he's getting lots of turn, and that's always makes the batsmen think about their footwork and their position. Dot ball there. Here comes San again. Again short. And they go for a quick single this time. They're looking to get the short singles. That's what will win them the match ultimately by rotating the strike and making the bowlers less comfortable with their work of trying to keep the pressure on. Here's Hassan again, bowling to Matt, to Ellison. No, to Marriott. And that one is squeezed out. This pitch is getting lower and slower.
It was a good ball. Looked like it pitched leg and turned toward off.
Hassan in again. More flighted this time. Driven back by Marriott, straight back to the bowler. No run. Mid-wicket quite short. Hassan, full toss, hit away, but it'll only be a single down to deep square. Marriott runs the first one fast, but there's no way they can come back for two. That's the end of the over. 138 for three. Marriott on 9, Ellison on 8. And the required rate has gone up to 5 now. And Duckworth-Lewis moves up to... I think it'll move again before the start of the next over, because it was on 125 during that over.
35 needed off 7 overs? Yes.
Yes.
So exactly 5. No reason to lose their heads, but you could see a little pressure has built. That's what the bowlers have got to exploit. Every dot ball is gold dust at this point.
Yes. And or a wicket.
Yeah.
As the clouds come in, more rain now could declare the match one way or the other. There's only 8 runs in it on Duckworth-Lewis. Here comes Sahal, full toss. Marriott misses out, although there was a cover sweeper, but it hit it straight to extra cover anyway, so there was no run. Sahal in again from the pavilion end. Past the umpire, bowls, and that gets through Marriott's defence. Didn't turn enough to clip the off stump, went through to the keeper who didn't take it cleanly. No chance there, just another dot ball. Here comes Sahal again, bowls, and that's a good delicate late cut. That will get him at least 2. Marriott comes back for the second now, they'll settle for that. Nice shot, just looked to go forward. The bowler just pitched it slightly short and he rocked back and deflected it nicely. Wasn't that short. Marriott moves on to 12. And still in strike. The wind gets up again. Here comes Sahal. Bowls, and Marriott's down the pitch and looking to get a single to mid-off, who's quite deep at the edge of the circle. And Marriott gets that comfortably. 141 for 3. Chasing 174. 142 for 3 now. Marriott 13. Ellison in strike. Sahal bowls. It's short. Hardly short enough to pull, but he manages to squeeze it round the corner to fine leg, but there's no run.
Yep, just got to keep their heads, not panic.
Yes, Sahal again, bowls, quicker. And that's a big shot, that's 6. A low full toss and just helped easily, without much flourish, into the crowd. And that will release a lot of pressure. Good blow by Ellison. And Sahal and his skipper will be disappointed that the last ball goes for a big 6.
Yeah, lovely sweep shot, really. Just picked it up, helped it on its way. But just what English schools did not need. If that had been a dot ball, then you'd have felt pressure was beginning to build, but that's rather released it. So Ellison has justified his promotion up the order.
So 26 required off 6 overs. Just over 4 and over needed now, so that's 6. It's done its job. It's taken the whole scoring rate down by just about a run an over. We could do with the lights almost, couldn't we?
We could. It's got very gloomy. Nothing but dark cloud ahead of us.
They've lost the ball. So, umpire, a.k.a. Shepherd, is walking off purposefully towards the pavilion and is being greeted by someone from the MCC cricket office, I suspect. or the third umpire, who's coming out with a box of balls.
Yeah, it was swept low and hard, and so it seems to have disappeared into the stand or around the stand where the scorers are located.
Yes, it may have gone through the gap and out into the concourse.
Yeah.
And arguably through the grill, the wrought iron, what are they called? Slats, I'll call them, and onto the road, it's possible. Anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to muck around. They're going to get another ball out. Let's see if that produces some wizard reverse swing for the Esker bowlers. They're going to have to bring their seamers back soon, I think, because one of the spinners, I suspect, has bowled out now.
Yes, by the looks of it, Hassan. No, Sahal has bowled his 10.
Right. So that, in fact, was the last ball of his spell.
Ah, well,
poor chap. He'll be gutted.
A shame after he bowled one of the balls of the day to remove Abel for 51. And it's still going to be Hassan, leg break bowler from the nursery end.
Here he comes and bowls to Marriott, who hits that very powerfully away off the front foot. Deliberate shot and hit in front of square. And I mean, backward square leg was probably only 4 or 5 yards from the ball, but it beat him comfortably.
So 152 for three, 152 off 223 balls. And it's two balls too many from the spinners here, really. That 10 runs and two balls has completely dissipated the pressure they'd begun to build up. Hassan needs to get a very full magic ball here.
Here he comes, bowls. Another full ball. Marriott driving nicely. Beautifully fielded by the sweeper. Nearly got through. Marriott coming back for the second. There's going to be a possible run out here, but not given. He had to dive.
I don't think the keeper took the bails off.
Ah, well, that would have explained at least one decision by the umpire.
Marriott dusting himself down. It's good. He's pushing to get them there.
Yeah, he's playing well, isn't he? Three men out on the boundary. Hassan in, bowls. Marriott again looking to attack. Tries to cut, misses. Ball through to the keeper. And this match is, one feels, is rushing towards a climax, probably in MCC's favour, unless Esker get a couple of quick wickets. This one's run down by Marriott to short third man, no run. Well, 1-5-4 for three. Five overs and two balls to go, so only 32 balls. But it's under run a ball. This is another short ball. That's hit for four to the extra cover boundary. And Marriott is taking this innings by the scruff of the neck at the moment. And Ellison is a willing partner. And having had a lot of control after the rain break, the spinners have lost a bit of control in the last two or three overs. Here's Hassan again. Bowls. Another leg break. Again shortish. Punched out into the offside, out to the cover boundary. Sweeper. Just the one run for Marriott, who keeps the strike. Moves to 24. And 159 now for three. And the Duckworth-Lewis pass score is now back to in excess of 20. Lower than what they know. Here we are, 15 now. 144 Duckworth-Lewis, 159 for three, with five overs to go.
So, yeah, it's magic time now for the English schools. They need some stump-smashing Yorkers here as their quick bowlers are returning.
Yes, I think it was the right decision to start with spin again after the break, and it certainly worked. And easy with hindsight to say they bowled for two overs each too long. But let's have a quick look at their bowling figures. Sahal went for 39 off 10 overs. Would have been 33 but for that 6 off the last ball. And Hassan figures aren't quite complete yet. So who do we have here? We have Winslay, the opening bowler, coming back from the pavilion end. He's bowling to a fairly defensive field, and this one is edged down, thick edged down to third man. There's also a deep fine leg, a deep square leg, and a deep cover. Those are the four men out. Esker trying to do almost the impossible. They need wickets, but they also want to try and save fours to keep themselves in the game as long as possible. Not an easy task. 160 for three, Marriott on 25, Ellison on strike as Winslade comes in with a big bounding run. He's quite quick, and that's going to go for four byes, I suspect, unless the fielder just reaches it, and he did, but he scrabbles it over the line, unfortunately. And that, was it four byes?
It was a fabulous late cut. Quite how intentional, I don't know, but it looked like he stabbed down on a Yorker length ball, and it guided it basically through first slip for four.
Right. So not a Chinese cut, but
no.
Maybe a Vietnamese cut, yeah. We could call it. Chop suey.
If we were being politically correct.
Yeah. Yes. Well, never mind that. Now, here's Ellison facing again. He's on 18 now, 164 for three. MCC closing in on victory. And Ellison punches that one out into the covers. And it's just the one run as an ambulance rumbles by Lords. You might hear the sirens in the background. And Marriott back on strike. Played a good innings. 25 not out. Looked a compact batsman. Winslade turns. Rumbles in. Bowls. Good ball. Yorker length. And Marriott just digs it out. Quite happy to survive that dot ball. Getting gloomier. But it's a good seeing ground for the batsmen, I think, Lords. Didn't used to be when they didn't have a sight screen in the pavilion, but that was a long time ago. Here comes Winslade in and bowls. It's a full toss, and that'll be a six more. That's a beautiful shot.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, really well picked up there. It was a low full toss. I think he was trying to bowl another Yorker, but as in the previous over, Marriott has got a good eye and hit a low full toss into the mound stand, possibly into the new stand. I think he found the same gap again. They may have lost the ball. No, it's back already. Must have bounced back. So he's on to 31, and the target is now only three runs to win. So they have raced away with this. And the required run rate is now 0.7 after a flurry of runs, as the equation becomes very simple for MCC. Four overs to go, and three runs needed. Marriott 31, Ellison 19.
That's right. So the tension has dissipated, really, and MCC schools predictably, with slightly more experienced players, who've played really well, are going to run out winners. Deserved winners here today.
Yes.
But we've seen a lot of talented players. Some good talent for the future. It looks like Hassan. Is this Hassan going to continue, or is this, no? This must be new bowler. He's warming up.
Well, they're going to go with a spinner in the hope that the batsman will have to do something to get runs. I suppose that's probably not a bad call.
It's Zaman.
Zaman, who
I think should have gone on and made a lot more runs, but he threw his wicket away on 29 earlier
yes.
in the day.
Well, he's got an in-out field. The slip's being moved into short extra cover. Cover, short extra, mid-off, sweeper on the boundary, two men out on the leg side. Short, fine leg, mid-wicket, mid-on. And this one is just pushed away by Ellison. There's no hurry now. Under one run and over needed. In comes the man again. Bowls to Ellison. Reverse sweeps. For four. And the match.
Brilliant.
Well, a bit of flourish there from son of an ex-England cricketer, wins the match for MCC. A good win by them, professional performance. They bowled just a little bit better than the younger Esker team, and the batsmen were able to clear the ropes and indeed score more boundaries than the Esker team, and game over. 175 for 3, so in the end a comfortable win by MCC by 7 wickets, and the covers are immediately rolled on by the groundsman, want to protect the one-day international wicket from any rain that might be around the corner. There looks like there might be a little bit of rain around the corner, and I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of Robin just to wrap this match up, and I wish you all a very good close season, although of course the season's not quite over, but as far as this particular part of the Ball by Ball service with in conjunction with the RNIB, this is the last match we'll be doing, and Robin, it's all in your hands.
Thanks, Terry. Well, just to wrap up, if you've just caught the end of the game and you want to know what happened, you can go to lords.org and see the scorecard there. But the English Schools Cricket Association batted first, Jackson 50, Tattersall 7, Duckett 7, Villani a duck, Zaman 29, Rhodes 6, Winslade 32, Hassan 22, Sahal 1, Webster 11, Sakand not out 6. They made 199, which was a decent effort from 103 for 5, where they'd been in the middle of their innings, but didn't look enough to challenge the more experienced MCC Schools players. And they came out and won the game comfortably. 175 for 3, slightly reduced total because we had a 40-minute break for rain. But Abel made 51, Alain 35, Gubbins 34, Ellison not out 23, and Marriott not out 31. A stylish reverse sweep to finish the game. Good win for MCC Schools, and an enjoyable day looking at some of the hopefully future county and maybe even England players for us. But that's it. If you you want to know more, please do go to lords.org and find out about other games that are covered by this Ball by Ball service brought to you by the MCC in association with the Royal National Institute for the Blind.